And welcome, welcome to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, July the 23rd. I believe it's the third day in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention being held in downtown St. Louis, but we're out in the county in Kirkwood at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And for the first time with us, we have Wes Reimnitz in our new studio. Hi, Wes.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't ask you how the weather is up in Havana because you're down here.
It's sunny and muggy. It's sunny and muggy and hot.
Oh, boy.
The other day it was 83 degrees and the humidity was 80%. Not a cloud in the sky.
Yes. In the studio here, it's 72 and the humidity is 110. Okay. We have a little work to do on the air conditioning around here. But frankly, this is, how do you like this studio?
Wow. What a difference.
Yes. It looked like a spaceship, somebody said.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like all the lighting. At the other place, the light was a little dimmer.
Yes. Now you know what I really look like, and you know why I'm on the radio rather than television. Okay. What are we going to be talking about on this Ruminations Tuesday, July the 23rd? You and I were talking last week on Thursday about that wonderful CTCR document. That's the Commission on Theology and Church Relations that was talking about the... What was it talking about?
You remember? The natural knowledge of God.
Very good. The natural knowledge of God. And you started talking about, well, that has a lot to do with the two kingdoms. So we thought that today would be a great opportunity to talk about the two kingdoms because there are really two sets of two kingdoms. One of the most famous books ever written in the history of the church by a man named Augustine talked about, you know, the two kingdoms. But what was he referring to? He was referring to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan.
Right.
We call it two cities.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad that you're going to cover this because, you know, as we had talked before offline in over the phone, I said, you know, I needed some more practical sort of things as a pastor that I use these things within the parish, and I think the two kingdoms really accentuate that in a very positive way.
Well, that's why I was so infatuated with the new CTCR document, because I believe the church does need to speak to the government, but we have to be real careful what we speak on. We better have God's word behind what we have to say. And if we don't, then the church should keep quiet. So how much should people be taxed? That's not the business of the church. But how people can be married, like gay marriage, that is the business of the church.
Yep.
So you yourself sent me a number of documents on the social doctrine of the Augsburg Confession, the Christian a citizen of two kingdoms, Christian citizenship, and then a whole thing from Info Library called Two Kingdoms. Now, what we're going to be looking at, though, today, also in conjunction with those, are what we call the two kingdoms. And what are the two kingdoms we're talking about?
Right, the temporal kingdom and the spiritual kingdom. By the way, those documents I got, I pulled them right off of our lcms.org website. Just typed in two kingdoms and pulled them all up.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to go into further detail, we have a whole bunch of items that you can Google or search called the two kingdoms from a Lutheran point of view. Because there are some denominations that will not understand the two kingdoms the way we do. Like, for example, Nixon was a member of, you remember?
He was a Quaker, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who don't believe in going to war.
Or conscientious objector.
Yes. And so they have a different view. For them, the natural or the temporal kingdom is almost an evil kingdom. But we believe that God rules over both kingdoms, but in quite different ways. In fact, what's the main Bible verse for the temporal kingdom?
Romans 13, 1 to 7.
Yeah, can you kind of summarize that, what it's saying?
Well, basically, it's saying that we should obey the government. God
yes.
rules through the government, and it's made up of citizens. He appoints the rulers. He's concerned with the body. It's a kingdom of power. In one of the documents I sent to you, they call it also the kingdom of the sword.
Yes, because it says he does not bear the sword in vain. That's one of the verses in Romans 13. And the purpose of the temporal kingdom, which will not exist in heaven, is to keep chaos from overruling the world.
Exactly. And, you know, in reading about this, one of the things that I was quite taken with is part of the natural knowledge. It's part of the created order.
Yes, just like God puts certain natural laws in effect in regard to nature. If you drop a bowling ball out of a third-story window, the bowling ball will not just drift in the air there. It will fall right to the ground. And we have discovered what we call gravity. Whereas if you do that in outer space, it won't move anywhere because there is no gravity in outer space. So nature has certain laws, but so has behavior and morality. And there are certain man-made understandings of laws that are found in every religion. For example, as far as I know, every religion punishes those who steal.
Right.
Take somebody else's property that's not yours. That's what we mean by natural knowledge of morality and of God. Now, if the temporal kingdom is Romans 13 and it's God's rule through the government, what's the primary verse for the spiritual kingdom?
Well, John chapter 20, 19 to 23, where Jesus comes and talks to his disciples and peace be with you. As the Father sends me, I send you. And he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any,
yes,
they are their sins have been forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they've been retained.
So the office of the temporal kingdom is rule with the sword. The office of the spiritual kingdom, in fact, we call it the office of the
keys.
Yes, and that's what you just said. The keys to open or close heaven. Why would you ever not forgive someone? Why would you retain their forgiveness?
Oh, it's just good old forgiveness of sins. If they've asked for it, if they've repented, if they haven't, they don't, you know.
Yeah, if they don't think it's a sin, then you're not to throw pearls to the swine.
Yeah. I had that happen recently up at Havana. Somebody had actually sinned against me, and I was talking with the elders, and they said, what are you going to do about it? I said, I'm going to call them in and have them talk to me in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what are you going to do when they say they're sorry? I said, forgive them. What else? I said, we're in the forgiving business.
That's right. That's right. And then refuse them communion. Okay. no. Now, you know, that's not just a joke. For example, when I disobey my parents, let's say I did something wrong, wasn't home in time for supper, they would forgive me when I was sorry, but then I wasn't able to watch TV at night. Now, why, if you're forgiven, do you still get a punishment?
There's still a consequence to that sin on the temporal side of things.
Very good. That's why these two kingdoms are so important. God only offers forgiveness in the spiritual kingdom. There is no forgiveness in the temporal kingdom. Sometimes they get close to that. For example, when people fled to Canada over Vietnam, at the end of that time, I believe the President of the United States, what did he do? He allowed them to come back. There's a special word for that. Where they didn't have to pay the crime.
Amnesty?
Yeah, very good.
Yes, there we go.
Excellent. Now, that's not really a form of forgiveness. It's a form of, in the judicial area, where for the good of the country, it would be better these people come back rather than pay the crime since the war was over. So a lot of people think amnesty. In fact, I've heard some people say that God gives us amnesty. No, if he gave us amnesty, nobody would pay the price.
You know, I get amnesty in the legal realm ever so often.
How so?
When I get pulled over for speeding and the trooper lets me off.
Well, that's because he's a member of your congregation.
Well, that's a little different there.
But it seems to me I'm always getting stopped by Jewish police. And so I get a big fine. No, that's not true. Okay. Now, we have a number of ways of deciphering the distinctions between the temporal kingdom and the spiritual. The first one we've already talked about, God's rule through the government, and then God's rule through the church. But what are the people referred to in each kingdom?
Well, one, in the temporal realm, it would be a citizen of the country.
Yes.
And of the other would be made up of Christians.
Now, God never rules over us visibly. He's always a God of means. So through whom does he rule in each kingdom?
Well, one, he appoints the rulers, or whether it's our president or governor.
Yes.
I don't know what the governor here is in Missouri, but over in Illinois is Pat Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when it comes to God's side of things, the spiritual, it's the pastors who lead us.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize that the pastoral office is a office that God set up, because there are certain qualifications a pastor has to have that a laity do not have. By the way, I was doing a PowerPoint presentation not long ago, and I used the word laity, and I was surprised how many people did not understand what that word meant.
Really?
Yeah. And I explained, well, it's the opposite of a pastor or a teacher. Laity comes also from the word layman.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I was saying a lay person is somebody, but they said, well, you need to explain that, because somebody who I thought really knew Lutheran theology real well did not understand the word laity. So we're always thinking they understand the way we do, but that's why you have a radio station to explain. So you're made up of citizens with rulers to lead you in the temporal kingdom. In the spiritual kingdom, you're made up of Christians with pastors to lead. What would you say is the concern of each kingdom?
Well, in the temporal, they would be concerned with the body, the physical side of things. And for us in the spiritual, we're looking at the soul, what's at the very heart of a person's
eternal destiny. Yeah. No, that's really important. And the two, even the sins in both are really different. For example, I make this up because you'll see right away it can't be true. But I come to a stop sign, and I stop, I look both ways, and I go across. A policeman pulls me over, and he says, I have to write you a ticket. And I said, why? I came to a full stop. He said, yeah, but you were thinking of going through. Now,
where does that come in?
Well, it comes in the spiritual realm. The thought gets the same punishment as the deed.
Thought, word, and deed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the lady in one of my congregations once said that she was going to get a divorce. And I said, you know, you worked hard in thought, word, and deed, especially in thought.
Yes.
And I said, now work is hard to fall back into.
That's
love.
Good. That's good. Yeah, because Jesus makes the point, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, on that one on murder, that even if you have a bad thought against someone, if you take a look at that, folks, it's Matthew chapter 5, you'll find that the thought, the deed, as well as the word, like calling somebody a bad name, all get eternal hell as punishment. There's no distinction in God's mind. So, but in the temporal realm, they only punish you for an outward disobedience of a rule or a commandment, not for a thought.
Right. They have to see it happen.
Sometimes they'll punish you because of words. Can you think of an example where you get punished because of a word you say?
You laugh. I just talked to my son today at work. He is a supervisor.
Okay.
And one of the members, not only in word, but with a familiar hand signal, signaled over off in his direction. It was into the office and said, you're being written up.
Yes.
You cannot do that.
Because of swearing or such.
Such, and it's disrespectful, you know.
Right.
Of authority.
But that's not a rule of the government. That may be the rule of that. But give me a rule where the government would come down, and I'll give you a very, I'll give you a hint what I'm thinking about. In a theater.
In a theater. Oh, yes, if you cry fire.
That's right. Fire, 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 when there is no fire and people get trampled trying to get out.
Oh, yes.
So thoughts, as far as I know, are not ever really punished, except in some countries. I was listening yesterday. They had Hemingway, her name was, and she was talking about how in some Muslim countries, if you even think, for example, of changing your religion, that's the death penalty.
How would they know?
Well, because, of course, you verbalize it, too. So they do come to know it, but if they can find evidence that that's what you're thinking. But in the United States, I don't know of any law where you're thinking until you verbalize something. And even when you verbalize, see, this is where we're going to have a real problem, because there is such a thing as a hate crime by word. Like if you tell somebody to beat up a homosexual and they do that, you can be held accountable too because of your words. But it's going to be interesting for us pastors when we speak about homosexuality as an abomination before Almighty God. In a place like Canada, that is hate speech.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can be arrested for that. So far in the United States, we haven't seen that. But there will probably come a time when even what we say as pastors are going to be a problem. Okay. Now, you have to have some kind of authority. What's the authority that is used in the temporal realm versus the authority used in the spiritual realm?
Are you talking about the laws in the temporal and the...
Well, the authority in the temporal realm is one of a kingdom of power.
Power, well, power and grace. You're looking at grace and...
In the church.
In the church.
Like, for, I'll give you a perfect example. The IRS can come and say, you're going to be fined or be put in jail unless you pay your taxes. A pastor who says, if you pay your donations to church, you're sure to get to heaven. See, that's a kingdom of power. That's using the law. And we cannot use the law except to show a person he's not doing it right. But if you want to get somebody to do a life of sanctification, then you have to point to God's grace, what he has done in Christ Jesus. And the more they learn about Christ, the more they love him, and then they're motivated to obey.
Generous giving. That's what I always talked about in terms of stewardship.
Yeah.
You lead them from the cross of Christ and what Christ has done for you.
So both need money, the government and the church, but both go about it a totally different way. And I bet you've run into some stewardship programs that almost become too legalistic.
Oh, yeah, where you're blessed if you give more giving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you got to give a certain percentage. It's not unusual to run across it on a website where people are, there's a whole body of articles on tithing where you got to give 10% and the anti-tithing.
Forgetting that that's a ceremonial law that's no longer in effect. By the way, if you want a phone in the St. Louis area, it's 821-0850. And long distance is 1-800-730-2727. So 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Now, where does the temporal realm get their laws and where does the spiritual kingdom get theirs?
Well, they're guided by, the temporal is guided by the laws that are derived by reason. Mankind comes together and figures them
out. That's where that CTCR document comes in.
You know, and that was interesting that you brought that up, because we talked about the Nuremberg trials where they had the crimes against humanity. I found it in one of our Senate documents.
Oh, really?
On theology and church relations on critical issues. And what was interesting was they've got it in the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights. The conscience may mean man's faculty to respond to moral principles that transcend human existence. So even in the United Nations, they look at it. So they've come up with these laws, but man is guided by God's will, and it's derived from his word.
And whether you're in Britain, where you have a queen and a prime minister, or in the United States with a president, governors, senators, House representatives, God works through both, because it doesn't matter how the laws come into effect, but God is still working through them for one purpose. And I remember the first time I heard that from a professor. The only reason God institutes government is to give the church the opportunity to spread the message of Jesus Christ,
yes.
And the example I give, have you ever been around a neighborhood during a garbage strike? It's very hard to go door-to-door evangelizing when you're having to hold your nose the whole time. So the more peaceful we are, and the more we're away from chaos. So what is God's goal with a temporal kingdom versus the spiritual kingdom?
Well, in the temporal kingdom, of course, you're talking about the establishment of a moral order here on earth. It is to maintain peace. It is the maintenance of the law itself. In the spiritual realm, you're looking at establishing, there you go, the kingdom of God here on earth.
Which is the Holy Christian Church.
Church, yep.
And that's why Jesus, many a parable begins, the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven is like. He's really describing how God works in the spiritual realm. In fact, if you use the spiritual realm principles in the temporal realm, you'll be arrested. You want to know an example?
Yes.
Okay. So I own a McDonald's, and at 7 in the morning, I hire a woman, and another one at 9, another 11, 1, 3, and then I hire a man at 5, and then at 6 o'clock, everybody's done, and I pay them all the same wage. Who's going to be after me?
The one that started early in the morning.
And what government is it? EOCC?
Equal Opportunity Commission.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's why you cannot read the Bible as principles of life. Because you're really going to be messed up a lot of times.
Yeah.
The spiritual kingdom is a different realm. And God, let's put it this way. In the temporal kingdom, God is a God of justice. You get what you deserve. In the spiritual kingdom, he's a God of mercy and grace.
Yeah, one article I read, I like it so well that it talks about where the temporal kingdom is there to maintain peace and yes. maintenance of the law.
Right, right. That's right. In order, whether or not they have that in there. Because when is the world going to come to an end? When we get a utopia here on earth?
Yeah.
No. You're always going to have the poor with you. You're always going to have wars and rumors of wars.
Well, you know when it's going to come to an end.
When the last of the elect
is saved,
are saved.
And Jesus returns.
That's right. And he won't return until the last of the elect are
you
converted.
You want a different thought?
Yes.
What if the last person you ever witness, I don't care who it is out there,
yeah,
it's the last person that ever comes to faith?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's
it's
why.
It's always important for us to be out there talking.
Yeah. So if you want the kingdom of God to come in Judgment Day, keep witnessing.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to obey something unless I'm properly motivated. What motivation does the government use in contrast to the kingdom of God, the church?
Well, it's always that proverbial punishment and hope of reward.
Yes.
You get punished if you went through that stop sign that you talked about.
Right.
Without stopping. But you're rewarded if you stopped and then went through.
Yes, yes, yes. And you see, what's really interesting, the Christian never stops at the stop sign for the perfect right reason. He may stop because it's God's stop sign. But, for example, if I have my mother riding in the car, I'm coming to a full stop or I'm going to hear something, if you get my meaning.
Now, I'm one of those.
Tom, you're supposed to come to a full stop.
I'm one of those that loves to pay my taxes.
Oh, yeah.
Because yeah. I really believe from a temporal realm, it goes to pay for our soldiers, our police,
right.
our good government that we can have.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. That would be a good reason, though. The selfish reason is the more I pay in taxes, the more I get back in April.
In April.
You know, or whenever it comes around.
Well, you know, from the spiritual realm, though we talk motivation, it's the gospel, it's the cross of Christ.
Yes.
The use of our sacraments.
Right. Yeah, the spiritual realm, we use Christ and the cross to motivate people to do the will of God. And we do that by forgiving the penitent, retaining the sins of the impenitent, but it's primarily through a proclamation of the gospel. Now, somebody once summarized the distinction between the temporal kingdom. In fact, this was Martin Luther. And how did he summarize it? As organized what versus...
Organized what?
Yes. Number 10.
Selfishness and unselfishness.
Yeah.
You really did, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, no. He talked about that the left-hand kingdom was a organized selfishness, that people will obey because out of their self-interest.
Mm.
See, the government, there's so much more you can put down on this chart, But the government is interested in the old Adam. They're trying to control the old Adam. The church is trying to bring out the new man, more to speak. So what is the product of each?
Well, one produces outward obedience in the temporal realm, of course.
Exactly.
The other one is to take that faith and put it in active in our loving relationships.
And there's something also about the length of the life of each.
Well, one's this side of heaven, it's temporal.
That's why we call it the temporal realm, yes.
Now on the other side, it's eternal.
The other side is eternal. In other words, what we're talking about is the distinction between temporal and eternal is really a distinction between God's left-hand kingdom and his right-hand kingdom. And guess what?
We're out of time.
Boy.
That was fun.
That was fun and kind of fast. And boy, there's still a lot more to talk about this chart.
Maybe they can write to you and get a copy of it.
Or I think I'm going to be continuing it tomorrow.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens there. I'm Tom Baker. Thank you so very much. Yeah, we're going to be continuing this Two Kingdom thing. And if you would like a copy of the chart that we were working with, just let me know at lawgospel@lawgospel.com. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Yeah. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.